This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This might be my second favorite novella he's done. Optimism. I like a good dose of, not this Joe Abercrombie, oh, everything sucks, which, yes, it's needed. But I like the optimism. I was like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, he would.
Welcome everybody to another Two to Ramble podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
I'm your other host, Richard.
Today, Rich and I are reviewing Dawn Shard, both spoiler-free for the first 5 to 10 minutes, and then we'll talk spoilers, because this is book 3.5 in the Stormlight Archive. It came out right before Rhythm of War, and we were very late to the party.
Yeah, a lot of people noticed that we hadn't read Dawn Shard.
Yeah.
Because... during our character tier list, we kind of dismissed a character, going like, whatever, who cares? And then...
two characters.
Yes, but more on one than the other.
The characters in this, it was Ryson and Lopin.
Yeah.
And we were like, they're barely in Stormlight, whatever. Now there's a dedicated book to Ryson and Lopin.
Yeah. So, no, it definitely improved my... appreciation of Stormlight and these two characters in particular. There's also a significant world building thing here that I wish I read before Sunlit Man and also Rhythm of War. Probably would have helped.
We'll have
some
to
little details.
Give our take. We'll have to have a dedicated take on our Cosmere reading order list. I mean, where would you, Dawn Shard, would you say it's a must read after Oathbringer before Rhythm of War?
Less so, no. I don't think it's a must read. For Rhythm of War. It's a must read for Sunlit Man.
I haven't read Sunlit, so...
good. You're caught up on, like, one of the key elements of the book that I was confused about.
Good. Okay. I like that.
So, yeah, no. This is good.
What would you say, so, to people... when we're saying spoiler-free, this is in the Stormlight Archive. We're not going to just go ahead and spoil Awakenings and all that, but you should definitely read books 1 through 3 of Stormlight before you read this, or else
I guess, it'll be spoilers for books... Stormlight books 1 through 3,
just
possible. I don't think we're going to go deep into it, but we may spoil something. Like, we mention a character, it's like, now you know that character's not dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because for this little mini novella, even for a novella, it's 55,000 words or so. Longer side for a novella.
Yeah, but that's...
that's Sanderson.
That's short for Sanderson.
Yes. So, what is the pitch for this book? What... set the scene, set the mood for what... do you people expect to get themselves into?
Sure. So we are introduced right at the top of the bat with this novella that we got our character Ryson, who was a small novella chapter in The Way of Kings, where we got to see a little bit of...
was it Way of Kings back then? I thought it was Oathbringer. Maybe she was in several.
She was in multiple.
In multiple.
She was first introduced in Way of Kings when I think it was the first set of interludes.
Oh,
where there was a merchant train where they're trading with the Shin. And and then basically her master is teaching her how to actually talk with the Shin. They're a little weird where you have to undersell yourself. You're trying to be more humble than them to make the sale. And then later on we get interludes with her trying to prove herself as a merchant, ultimately doing this daring deed that ends up... she becomes partly paralyzed, and that's basically where we're left off with her. Start of this book, she's on a boat. She's on a boat. She's doing things. She's doing merchant things, but she's having difficulties because she's, what is the proper term? It's not like paralyzed. Paralyzed is different than
disabled.
No, but like lost the use of just your legs, like half paralyzed or what is that actual?
I'm not sure the exact word. Term.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Disabled.
Yeah.
Can't use her legs. So having difficulties, she's tried Stormlight. She's tried all the new fancy, you know, fantasy cures, and none of it's working. But, you know, she has to move on. She has to figure it out. Now she is tasked with a mission to make this new crew her own. And also she has some side benefits, seeing what she can make some money on the side. And that's, and also she wants to save her little pet. That there was the pitch. I did it. I think I did it.
You did it.
And Lopin's there. Lopin is there doing Lopin things.
I have like a 2-sentence version of what you said, I think.
Look, we like to ramble.
There's a ghost ship that is coming from this mysterious island, and that island is where her pet, Ryson's pet Cherry Cherry, is from. She's like, oh, I want to go to that mysterious island, and coincidentally, Navani wants to send wants to send some people to that island because she also has some motivation. So, mysterious island trip, and Lopin is taken to protect Ryson on this journey. Simple enough, right?
You did it better than me, yes.
Your stuff, I gotta say, was better because you stayed true to the name. That was like, I didn't know where you were going at a certain point. I was going, wait, are you gonna bring us back to the book, or you're talking about...
Never.
You started with Way of Kings, you talked about your childhood, and then you brought us back to...
Yeah,
you were like, oh, then Lopin's there.
Yeah, also. Yeah.
Great job. Bravo. So the push for this book, I would say, if you're going in saying, is it an essential read? Is it something that if you miss and you kind of already read Stormlight, is it worth going back? I had a great time with it. I think it's not the best novella, I think, is Emperor Soul from Sanderson.
Definitely.
But this might be my second favorite novella he's done. It's not necessary to read, but you will get great enjoyment out of, for me, it was the message he fit in here, and the characters were actually great. So I would say if you want to get connected more with Lopin and Ryson, it's worth your time, especially it's so short. You could read it relatively quickly. Would you agree with that assessment, Rich?
Yeah, overall. Yeah. It's most people like this more than the other Stormlight novella, Edge Dancer.
What do you think of Edge Dancer?
I like Edge Dancer a lot.
You like
because
Lyft?
I like Lyft. Lyft is fun.
I'm pretty neutral on Edge Dancer. I'm dancing on the edge for that one.
We all got it.
Yeah.
If
you all notice, our seats are more separated because Rich redesigned the set purposefully so that we are further from one another.
If I could have it, I would put a barrier between us, but unfortunately, that would, you know, that wouldn't work too well for the editor. They'd have to like fake the eye contact, and that's hard.
Very hard.
That's hard work.
Sorry, Nick. So you were saying that this is better than Edge Dancer for you? It's worth the read for people?
I think it's slightly better than Edge Dancer for me,
okay.
But I know for a lot of people, it's much better than Edge Dancer because a lot of people aren't a fan of Lyft.
People online, so Patrick Leo loves it. We had Goodreads gives it a 4.4 to 4.5 range. It's like 4.44 right now. And then we also chatted on the Patreon. We always have people on Patreon. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all Stormlight. We're currently reading Wind and Truth as this video is coming out. We'll be done with Wind and Truth by the time you all see this, but I'm on day 5.
I'm still on day 2. You're ahead of me.
Well, hold up. We're going to pause there and just say, hey, we're not saying anything Wind and Truth. That's where we are. So we're Stormlight brained out right now.
Yep.
So I'm excited to talk about Stormlight at least.
Oh, yeah.
It's without talking about the stuff we're actually reading right now. Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you.
That was a great sneeze, too.
Yeah.
Great, very short synopsis of the book and great sneeze. That's what we learned today. And so what is your spoiler-free rating for Dawn Shard, Rich?
Overall?
Yes.
A 3.75. I think it's really good.
Oh, good, really good score. I gave it a 4 stars. That's a great book right there.
Yeah.
That's a great book.
This is just, this is a real calm episode, isn't it? No contention, just... It's good.
It's fun time. And, you know, I would say a specific recommendation for people, too, just to what you're getting into. If You mentioned that she's disabled, can't use her legs. So if anybody has disabilities of fourth, I think it handles the topic extremely well. So if anybody wants something focused on that message, something where the characters are lovable, but there's more to it. It's fun, but also is worth thinking about. So it's not just, there's some books that are fun for fun's sake. This has a little more to it.
Yeah.
And handles the topics with heart.
It also is very interesting to explore a topic such as, like, you know, a severe physical disability inside this fantasy world where people get their arms cut off and they're regrown and people fly and all these magical type things.
Yeah.
And like, how does disability actually, how do you work around that? Where a character makes a comment of like, we now have, you know, flying soldiers and all these different things. And yet, you know, she's still in the wheelchair. And not even a good one. She's in like a chair with like a normal chair that needs to be like carted around by someone else. So
what would you say are the best and worst categories of this book to give people a last taste before we get into spoilers?
Best is characters and world building. Maybe worst would be emotional impact for me.
Okay. Best for me, I think, is the message and characters. So thought provokingness and characters. Worst, probably pros.
Pros probably.
For me. Yeah,
my pros is about the same as my emotional. It actually is the same as my emotional impact.
Yeah.
It's fine.
If you know Sanderson, you know what you're getting into. Check affiliate link to Dawn Shard below if you want to check it out. But without further ado, Rich, spoiler time.
Spoiler time.
Spoiler warning for Dawn Shard. And again, what the spoilers we're going to say will stick to Dawn Shard. We won't mention Rhythm of War and Wind and Truth spoilers. We will keep it to the end of where this book goes, but Wave Kings, the Oathbringer stuff can seep through.
Yep.
Okay. Spoilers there. Let's begin emotional impact. What'd you give it out of 5 stars?
3.5. Thought it was good.
Good.
I was invested. I liked it.
Neat. This,
but not more than that.
Just you liked good. It. Good. Good, good. I gave it a 4. Great. And this why I had to give it the edge for this small little book. I think it's the best humor-wise Sanderson's ever done for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I haven't read The Secret Projects. But it's definitely funnier than Mistborn stuff and even Stormlight stuff for sure. Mm. And I got so into Lopin and his quips. And so I think your goodness and my greatness, is it the humor part? Because why was it good and not beyond that for you?
Oh, the humor's there. It's all is there.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't go beyond for me. I liked the
good
characters.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good time. But yeah. I wouldn't say I was particularly laughing out loud at anything. So, my expectations were precisely met.
You know what I mean? Mine were slightly exceeded because I expected good time. I had really good and great time. I was like, oh, that's funny. And so what's a scene for you that stuck out? Is there a scene here that goes, okay, that was the most I was invested in the story? Or was it a consistent, hey, that was just, I was overall never up and down. It was a constant, yeah.
I mean,
ooh. We're getting used to the new set. Sorry.
I mean, it's everything with Ryzen was probably where I was most invested.
Okay.
So I liked the technical journey of her overcoming her disability was fun to see. Fun to see how she overcame it. It wasn't just all focused on her disability. It's also her station as the lead merchant of this seafaring vessel, which she's taken over from her master. And how that went over with the crew, how she seems to have usurped the captain's place in the crew and the tension that's involved there, and how she knows that the captain has been waiting her whole life to be the leader of her crew. And now at the 11th hour, this young star nobody knows came in, took the position. There's going to be contention. And so I like how she wins over the crew with, you know, her methodical intelligence on it. She's a fairly wise leader. I like all that stuff that she has to deal with.
That's awesome.
And then especially by the end, her solution, being able to outthink the problem, and also how she values her crew. It was a very fun message and character journey for her.
Yeah. So you were more, Ryzen was more of what you were invested in than Lopin's End?
Yeah. Lopin was fun.
Yeah.
But that's about it for me.
Okay. Like, yeah, I think so for each character, because that's there are two point of views. I don't think you get another point of view in here, but you have other characters like Hoya, H-U-O-I, and Nickel. I call him Nickel because every time I look at, I have to get really used to that positioning there. You know, it's a good springboard. I move my hands a lot.
You do.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing for me is at first the book was fun and I was smiling. I was laughing along with the quips. Lopin, what kind of got me, and the fact that you have to read the first three Stormwhites before reading this. So anytime he would talk about Cal or his cousins, I would be in on the joke with him. Like, the reason he was there in the first place is he was like, yeah, Cal was telling me not to, but he was about to start moping again, and I just kind of left and went. I'm like, yeah, Cal is like that. You tell that depressed kiddo, you know? Like, Lopin, and you know Lopin's life of how him not having an arm as well. So even him making those jokes, he kind of has this cool mix of, he's definitely an arrogant ass, but also a funny ass. And so you're going, but you also feel bad for him, but also you feel fun with him. So it's the push and pull. But what sealed the deal at the end for me was it wasn't just for the fun. It wasn't just like hot laughs. But at the end, which we'll talk about in the thought-provokingness, but some emotion that got pulled out of me was where Lopin had to recognize at the end that not everybody copes the same way. And his jokes and his laughter, Hoy, his cousin that he was joking around with the whole time, kind of his ideal was focused on Lopin and how Lopin was trying to make everybody around him feel better, and his way of joking is he intends well, but to his cousin was like, well, I will protect those I hate, da-da-da, as he looks at Lopin. And so Lopin finds out that his cousin, who he thinks he's just joshing around with, doesn't like him very much. He's kind of coming off the wrong way. And so Lopin now has to commit to this ideal that I will protect those I hate even from myself. And it's kind of this humorful character who now kind of has to understand, oh, I'm kind of being too much around people, which, and I appreciated too, because even Lopin's humor was sometimes in other books, like too much. I'm like, all right, Lopin, you're not always that funny, but that's also the point. So is that there was more to it than just Lopin being a laughing stock, which I appreciated. And I was impressed with how Sanderson fit that much into there with like Lopin, how many chapters he had in this short book and then how little Ryson had. So all of their stuff was both fun and had a point to it. And I just appreciated I was like, oh, Sanderson, nice going. You know how to write.
Yeah. It's also enjoyable to see Lopin in his element, where you get a little bit more context on his jokes and just the amount of cousins that he is kind of just snuck in. Like, the cousins, like, okay, he keeps talking about cousins. And I think it's brought up before this book, but I know it's in this book of cousin is just basically friend. And so
now you're getting it.
He's got a lot of cousins.
What's his? He doesn't say Chapo. He's like, now you're getting a Gancho.
Gancho.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of funny of how he, like, Callum's looking around going, wait, how many cousins do you have now here? Like, how many of them is snuck in at this point? Like, don't worry about it. My cousins are everywhere.
Some of his lines, like he says this, it's only a contradiction if you think about it. You know? Like, I'd say that to you.
Yeah.
He felt like one of the podcast bros. I was going, Lopin, you'd be a fantastic podcast guest.
You are a Lopin. Like, if I had to pick a Stormlight character for you, you'd be Lopin.
Thank you.
You could take it.
Either way.
Take it as compliment.
I could take it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you were anyone, you'd be... Oh, we already made the Zeth's jokes. That's getting old. I have to make a new one. I'll come up with something.
Okay, good.
So I appreciated that. And Rice and stuff, as you said, a little bit too, I had to give credit to, was it was a book that was real easy to read. And I was always invested in going, there was enough mystery, there was enough fun, there was enough of a point. I was overall emotionally like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to go on to the thought provokingness.
Sounds good. What'd you give it?
This? Oh, me first?
You first.
This is, I had to think about this, and I stand by it. 4.5 stars.
Wow.
Spectacular. Yeah.
I gave it a 3.75.
Hey, big difference. Big difference.
Big difference here.
Okay, yes. You really liked it.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Especially how it handles disability, I think was well thought out. It handled, I think, all the stuff that you mentioned with Lopin of how, like, we always talk, like, one of the ideas of humor being the best medicine, and you should laugh at the problems, and like humor's a way to
we're bring guilty your friends of that in. A lot
yeah,
here,
all the
yeah.
time. But sometimes it's not appropriate, and trying to navigate that and realize that different people's coping mechanisms are different, and so maybe it's not best to try and make your friends laugh all the time
yeah.
that they're feeling sad. Like maybe you should just be quiet and listen. That's another option.
Maybe I rated it high because I just want you to listen to me, Rich. I'm calling for help.
Yeah, I'm not learning this lesson.
No.
This is not a Richard Learns episode. I'm going to stay where I am.
This is a Rich Stays in Line episode.
I see the lesson. I acknowledge it. And we move on.
So, yes, that we could break down because I guess the big message that all this comes from, what I appreciate about messages in books is when the theme, the message, is in every single aspect of the book, from the plot to the characters, the point, the world of the book, and all of it does come back to bad omens and superstitions in this book are presented as people do believe in the superstitions. So all the Thalen people are very superstitious people. They all believe in these omens. And as we see in the plot, Ryson goes and finds a way to turn the superstition around. It's all kind of fun. And the way that Ryson, what she acknowledges is that it's how people view superstitions does matter. Regardless if ghosts are real, it's how people view the ghost is what is important. And it's taken them from Lopin, Ryson, and their characters and how they handle their disability of the disability isn't your limit. It's how, yes, the disability exists. There's a thing. There's a superstition. And yeah, disability is real, but it's how Ryson and Lopin view their disability, which makes them not just cope, but excel with it. So having a positive mindset of looking at the one-to-one, where if people view superstitions, they're real. Yes, the same way you view your disability, take this mental or physical. Yes, they'll exist. But how do you cope? How do you get beyond that? And then for Lopin and Ryson's character, both being able to relate to one another, where Lopin understands Ryson. And the way disability is handled here, which I loved as well, was how Lopin was joking around with Ryson's disability, and she was just laughing because everybody else around Ryson constantly throughout her life is walking on very, very thin glass. And
it's walking on eggshells is what you're looking for.
That's it. See, that you're useful sometimes.
Yeah.
I like that. Walking on very thin eggshells. So walking on eggshells around Ryson because they don't know what to do. They don't acknowledge the elephant of the room, but there is an elephant in the room, and it just makes the person with a disability more uncomfortable too. And so them being able to bond over that and then extrapolate that from the whole plot's message of...
It does show that Lopin isn't wrong in trying to use humor to connect with people and to laugh at people's problems to hopefully get them to laugh at it too.
Yeah.
Like, he's not wrong. It's just not right for everyone.
Yes.
So it worked with Ryson.
And that's,
but doesn't work with his cousin.
It's his way of coping. So he's like, of course this is how you deal with it. I know how to deal with a disability like this. This is my way of handling it. But then that's where it goes another layer for me, is it's at first, yes, that's a great message of how you perceive it, and Pure Nessie is one of the best, the goats of that message, and amazing. And so it's not just how you perceive it, then it goes the next layer of, yes, even if Lopin looks at disability a certain way, doesn't give him the right to treat other people, and I get he's well-intended, but it doesn't, he still has to acknowledge that other people have different worldviews. He still has to acknowledge that that's not how other people handle things. So it's not just a blank check to act however you want. Yeah. So that was also cool to look at. But is that something that the whole bad omens to how disability was handled, something that you saw or appreciated? Yeah,
carry that further a little bit. It's about trying to basically putting yourself in someone else's shoes and realizing that their experience is not your own.
Yeah.
And to... if you want them to accept you, you have to accept that. And so Ryzen's ability to empathize with the crew, not dismiss their superstitions, and her putting herself in the position of her captain and going, how would I feel if I was this captain? She walks through it of, okay, so this captain's been working with my mentor for years. And then they save up. He buys a brand new ship. She thinks that it's going to go to her, that finally she'll be able to be free to control her own crew and her own destiny. And now some mentee that came in out of nowhere that she's never met before, or, you know, met in passing a few times, but doesn't know, is now supposed to be her new boss. How would that feel? And Ryzen goes, yeah, I would feel awful. That'd be terrible.
Yeah.
And so now she acknowledges that and is like, okay, well, how do I win her over? And not just, you know, bullheadedness.
Yes.
What's the way that she would want it?
Yeah.
So a lot of it is empathy and working in other people's shoes.
And that's a big part of it too. Like, when I appreciate messages like that where everything is baked in. So Ryzen's entire character as a merchant is figuring out what people need. What does the other person need? Not just what do I want in this, but what's something I can use? And in her way, it's to an advantage to get a trade done.
Yeah.
And then that way of looking at the world and being a merchant is also how she handles her disability, and how it also goes to Lopin's message, and Lopin's goes back to her. And so everything's mixed into it. And it's just cool to see all those perspectives. I think as well, something that impressed me was Lopin's. So we talked about Lopin's ability to not realize what he was doing to Hoyle's cousin and how he's joshing around with Ryzen, but extra little flavor in there. Did you get anything else out of the book, or what do you, before I say anything?
I mean, the very, very end of her picking up the Dawn Shard, now in control of this some kind of magical super weapon, and the idea of hiding in plain sight, of doing the unexpected. What are you thinking?
I'm just looking for a word, that's all. Kind of encapsulates it.
I mean, in general, empathy is what I got, but...
Here's my word, optimism. I like a good dose of... not this Joe Abercrombie, oh, everything sucks, which, yeah, it's needed, but I like the optimism. I was like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, he would.
I was like, yeah, humanity. So that was neat. And
I'm
also
surprised you like Dark Age as much as you did.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I like...
That's not a very optimistic book.
No. I like optimism at times.
Yeah.
But no, the thing at the end with making the deal with... Maybe we could talk about this in plot.
Okay.
We'll move on to plot. Or sorry, characters is next.
Characters,
so we'll have to save that for plot section. Characters, what'd you give that out of 5 stars?
I gave it a 4. 4 out of 5.
4.25.
I think they're great.
Really great. 4.25 for me. How did you view their characters? Their flaws, wants, needs, the choose to them. Start with who? Whoever you want. Lopin, Ryzen, who do you want to start?
I'll start with Lopin.
Okay.
Lopin, what he wants is everyone to be happy.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he's the practical jokester, the prankster. He wants people around him to be happy, and he wants to have fun. What does he need? He needs...
This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To learn that, you know, having empathy for others is not necessarily like, oh, I'm going to force them to be happy by making a joke. You have to learn to read the room. Not everyone's going to react the same way to your jokes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, his flaw is that exact same thing, is sometimes he can be a bit much and he's thinking too much inside of his own head if everyone thinks the same way he thinks. And part of that is a joke. Of he goes around a lot of times, a lot of his jokes is like going, how do you not understand that this is how it works? And everyone's like, Lopen. And because he's off in his own little world. Mm. And seeing the world, he can't, it's a joke, and then he kind of learns at the end, but people see the world differently than he does and doesn't understand that all the time.
This is actually, so here's a line from him that encapsulates his character, also says the message better than I was able to put it. This is his line. He says, but it's nice to make someone laugh at you for what you do and not something for you can't control, you know? And that says something about, that says so much about him, of how, why he uses humor as a tool, but also why it comes from a place of heart and how he also copes. So all of that in one. And then another line from him after the whole finale of the book, he says, hey, have you heard about the time I saved Hoy from being swallowed? Oh, yes. He was going to be eaten by a monster uglier than the woman he courts, and I flew into the thing's mouth to save him off the tongue. Then I was very humble about having done such a heroic deed. So it's just kind of him being arrogantly funny, but other people see him as like, you're being, stop it, Lopen. I think this is Sanderson's way of showing an intentional Lyft character. People don't like Lyft because she's can be cringy to people and childish, but Lopen is childish and it's pointed out that he's childish. And that's why I think people relate to Lopen more and go like, yeah, he is, but other characters acknowledge the fact that Lopen is like that, which makes the reader go,
I don't know. They kind of do the same thing for Lyft. Lyft is just Lyft. Everyone's like, weird, wild girl. All right. No one can contain her. We just have to, like, she's good. She heals people. So we're just going to have to talk.
She's more of a mystery of, like, how the hell is she in this vision? This happens in Oathbringer.
She's just weird.
Yeah.
And she's the little bundle of chaos that wanders around. Awesomeness. Yeah, no. But also hers is a little bit of, like, she's forcing herself to be more childish than she probably should be. That's also kind of deliberate, but
yeah,
point taken. Yeah. What about Ryzen?
Ryzen. So her character, all about figuring out what do people need, and that her merchant training from Vistam, her flaws in this book. So she's trying her best. She's trying her damnedest to overcome her disability, and also
her own self-worth and identity,
imposter syndrome in a sense too, because she's now, who is she to be on this mission? I mean, she finds out that this other person, what was her character's name? Ooh, don't kill us. I can't remember her name, but the other person on the ship. And she realizes that, this imposter syndrome, trying to overcome that, and kind of accepts by the end that it's, don't focus on what you lost, focus on what you've gained in a new perspective, and kind of seeing how she's able to not fix her disability at all, but the way to handle that by the end is, kind of twofold. One, she leans more into, she saves everybody in the end, and she decides to, when she's haggling with the sleepless, she decides to be a good leader and not be selfish about anything. And also, on the other end, learns from Lopen as Lopen learns from her. So there's a couple of things weaved in there where Ryzen and then just realizes that she needs to realize how much she has gained after all of this. So
a lot of her focus is on what other people need.
Yeah.
And that ultimately she needs to kind of apply that to herself as well. And she has some difficulty doing that.
Yes. And then what did you think about the antagonist, Nickley?
I liked him. It's also real weird.
Yeah.
Real weird, but also in like the same Kremlin amalgamation creatures are also in other stories and parts of Stormlight. This seems to just be Sanderson's little... I don't think he'll ever focus on these creatures, but they're definitely some of the weirdest in Stormlight.
They are strange.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen kind of monsters that are made up of, you know, multiple parts, and it's all these little crab-like things put together. Yeah, weird. But also strangely peaceful. Like, they try everything they can do to peacefully get these people away from them. And yet, humans are determined. They're determined buggers. And so, like, we're left with no choice but to kill you all.
And the way she... Want to move on the plot so we could talk about how that... Okay, plot, what did you give out of 5 stars?
3.5. Thought it was good.
4 for me. Great plot. And I guess we could talk about... So, before we get to the conclusion, set up the whole thing. We kind of mentioned the superstitions and the omens. Nickley's trying to stop them from going to the island because while Navani wants them to go to the island to get the Oathgate, we have the Sleepless who are trying to prevent that so that the Dawn Shard doesn't get all loosey-goosey.
Yeah, they don't want some nefarious Cosmere actors to find the Dawn Shard.
Precisely.
So that's why they're hiding it.
Yes. And so, talking about that scene at the end, you were just saying?
Yeah, and so it makes sense. They're also they're surprisingly passive and peaceful, but I guess it makes sense in the sense of they don't want to kill anybody because that draws attention. So they'd rather people ignore them and just not go than actually kill everyone on the boat, which is good, but also seems fairly strong. Like, they're going up against, you know, Knights Radiant, and they're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. These creatures they could be very helpful in the battles to come in the series.
Yes. But and
probably won't be.
We'll see.
I don't know. From this book, it seems like they're pretty non-interventionist. But no, the plot makes sense of trying to use the omens to convince people to turn around. Then at the very end, how they try to hide the Dawn Shard. Then, you know, Ryzen actually come up with the plan of, hey, look, everyone expects it to be hidden. If it just, like, no one would expect you to actually just give it to someone, and then they just don't use it. Like, what better place could it be hidden than just me? And I won't use it, won't do anything with it. You can follow me around. I'll be on the move. It's not like some super secret island with all these mysteries. We're like, of course, that's like one of the first spots they're going to go to. Ooh, this super spooky island where people go missing and the ghost ships and all, like,
everyone's going to be like, what's there?
Yeah, let's figure out what's there.
Yeah.
No, instead of just some random boat merchant has it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, good plan, good way to hide it.
Mm.
So, works out in the end. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the plot?
Yeah, I just liked how the adventure we got here, A plot is going to the island, saving Chiri Chiri, finding out what's there. B plot is obviously the Cosmere level stuff of the Sleepless and the Dawn Shard that we find out about. So I liked how the omens and the cool part about this book and the plot was how Ryzen had to be creative to switch the superstitions into being something positive. Again, going back to the message, but it was cool how she kind of had to work with each of those of, oh no, the dead troll, not troll, what's the word of the
water version troll.
I think I have it written down here. That's what my notes are for.
So glad you have notes.
The dead Santhid is the word. Santhid. So when coming across a dead Santhid, instead of this being, oh, bad omen, she goes, oh no, there's merchants right nearby. We could that we can use this to actually help others. It's actually a good omen because God wants the Santhid to die so that we could help its body after death. And just the kind of twisting she had to do with each of this was just a fun way to keep the plot moving. And on top of that, we had the back and forth between Lopin, Ryzen, Lopin and all of his quips with Hoyo and giving each of them a cool role in the end. So it being a novella, I expected a lot less. And I got two character arcs. I got mini adventure. I got larger Cosmere stuff. So when I was looking at it as a full package, I'm going, I can't complain about anything in the plot. It doesn't do anything wrong. It does everything right. So I was like, oh, great. Great job at weaving that all together. So
Sanderson could be, you know, succinct when he wants to.
He can, yeah. When he chooses.
When he chooses, he can do a lot in very few pages.
See, would this be as good of Way of Kings if he just stretched the story into 500,000 words? Does he just gaslight us into getting attached to characters for so long that we have to like it by the end?
That's probably a little bit.
Like, if we spent the whole thing with Lopin and Ryzen and their struggle was about their disability and overcoming that, and you had more... Imagine with Kaladin's depression arc, you just had more beats, you had a more emotional moment because you were there longer. Then in the end, Lopin and Ryzen overcome, and you're like, wow, I've been following them for 500 business days. That's the best story ever.
Yeah.
I could see this being top tier story if it was like another 400,000 words is all I'm saying. But
I appreciate being a novella. I like it at its length.
Yeah, me too. I'm exaggerating. This is the proper length for this book. It got everything done it needed to. So great job, Sanderson. Yeah.
Any issues for... So I only gave it a 3.5 stars. It didn't blow me away plot-wise. Yeah. I thought the plot was good. Yeah. There was nothing there that particularly surprised me greatly or thought was unique. Yeah. Just... It's fairly normal to me. Anything for you that like it? Reason why it was great, not just good.
Yeah. So when we're rating plot, we go like on the 5-star end, like almost no changes, very few, and on the 1-star end, like tons of changes. And I just couldn't think of anything I wanted to change. And all the fun that I was saying I was having with the adventure, and I guess all the reasonings I gave. Plus, I'm looking at it and going, what would I do differently? And I can't think of anything.
Okay.
I can't think of much, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. For me, plot-wise, I would want more with Lopin. I think Lopin was probably more underdeveloped than Ryzen in the plot. And so, like, even-wise, Lopin got a lot of development at the very, very end rather than kind of through.
I can see that.
And so that would be my change, is I would add more Lopin time.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah. So, but as it is, I think it's still good.
Yeah, that's why I have to put it for just... I can't ask for much more. He hit everything I wanted him to hit in this book.
Fair enough.
So what would you say for... Do you want to talk more plot?
No. It's a pretty simple plot of...
Oh, simple, yeah.
Ghost ship, go to island.
Yeah.
Don't die. Recover Dawn Shard. Learn lessons along the way.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of like the reason I love Mad Max Fury Road's plot. Not spoiling the movie, but it's... Go to location. It's
go
about,
back.
Yeah. So it's like the 1917, the film.
Yeah.
It's give this letter here. The reason the plot's like not the most mind-blowing, oh my God, plot. It's a great plot just because of a little bit of trials you have to go through. And
it's the journey to get there.
It's the journey to get there. And chapter by chapter, just going, hey, I'm invested. The mystery's cool. Keeping me on my toes of who are these sleepless? Why don't they want to go to the island? What's the larger Cosmere? What are the stakes here? So he gets a great A and B plot in here. So I was impressed by that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Better than Dune, better than Way of Kings, the best plot ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whole
yeah.
9 yards. Okay. World building. What'd you give out of 5 stars?
Gave it a 4. Thought it was great. Great world building.
Nice. This is the first one I gave lower. 3.75. Really good. Really good.
I think everything to do with the sleepless, the additional, I like, just on, the full macro level, I like seeing Devani doing these more queenly things on the outside. Like in between the big plot stuff, there's missions going on to discover more parts on Roshar. I liked that in general. It makes the whole, makes Roshar feel more alive in general.
Completely agree.
So love that world building aspect. Then all the details with, we get more on the scientific application of some of the magic systems, in specifically how it works with disabilities. We get to see the origin of a piece of tech that comes later on. And you good?
I just spilled water all over. I'm a mess today.
Yeah.
We're good. It's just your chair. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But we get to see the development of a piece of technology that is later used in future books. Also cool to see. Then more about the Sleepless, the weird Kremlin people, Dawn Shard, and that whole mystery seems like even more like, okay, Hoy knows stuff about it. And then, okay. Big nuclear bomb. I still don't know what a Dawn Shard actually does. I just know it's
I have this is why I got my notes.
You got your notes?
I got some notes.
Thank you.
Okay. Look, here's some of the stuff. So what is the Dawn Shard? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is during the negotiations of defending the secrets in Akina, Nickly, the antagonist, the Sleepless, says this. So this is what is said about the, this is what we know from this book. Okay.
Okay.
The Dawn Shards are commands, Ryzen. The will of a god. The most powerful forms of surge binding transcend traditional and mortal understanding. All their greatest applications require intent and a command. Demands on a level no person could ever manage alone. To make such commands, one must have the reasoning, the breadth of understanding of a deity. And so, the Dawn Shards, the four primal commands that created all things, and then, eventually, they were used to undo Adonolacium. Adonolacium himself. Adonolacium himself. And then after the negotiations finalized, this is also what we got. So, Ryzen is a shard bearer now? Kord asked. A Dawn Shard bearer? No, Nickly said. She bears nothing. She is the Dawn Shard now. That is how it works. He bowed to Ryzen. We will speak again. Ryzen braced herself on the bench, then bowed back. Storms, she thought. What have I done? What you needed to, another part of her thought. You have adapted. You have remade yourself. It was then that she grasped in the smallest way the nature of her command inside her, the will of a god to remake things, to demand they be better, the power to change. So that's what we have from the Dawn Shard.
Yeah, that's a... I still don't know what it actually does.
Which is why, partly why I gave it 3.75, not 4. So it left a lot of mystery.
I think I'm equally... Like, you say, oh, the... Before and after the book, I think about the same.
The Dawn Shard?
I don't think my knowledge increased on what the Dawn Shard is.
The cool tidbit there is that it was used to kill Adonolacium and what are the commands. So it's like more
seems
of
like
what
this
was
is,
it used for?
It's not unique to Roshar. It's not like the four, there are four on Roshar. It's more of like there's four period.
Four right? primal commands that created all things. So it seems so to make such commands, one must have reasoning, the breath of the deity. So the Dawn Shards, the four primal commands, they call it the commands of something. So we
and
don't
it's
know a lot.
Surge binding, but I thought surge binding was unique to Roshar's system and not Cosmere level. So that's what confused me. Yeah. Like, what do you mean surge binding?
Yeah. So why did you give it 4-star? You just love the other stuff a part of it? Or what did you like about the Dawn Shard?
I still like learning something about it, of this mysterious element that's
cool
seems,
mystery, yeah.
Yeah, there's... And I've read other Cosmere stuff of where they are mentioned.
I'm just a little and jealous so, you gave a higher rating in one of the categories.
I know.
I think you should lower that bad boy.
I like the ghost ship. I like ghosts and ships.
Tony, 4 stars for the ghost.
That's all you need, man. That's all you need.
I like the word ghost.
I like the ghost ships.
It said boo.
It goes boo.
It's the most.
Boo in the night.
I would actually give you credit if you said Cherry Cherry. That's a great name. Cherry Cherry.
It's a good name.
Fantastic. Larkin. We got more of the Larkins.
Yeah.
Amy.
The thing is, I just liked all the world building with the sailors.
Span reads the aluminum.
Yep,
and
we
how
get
that
more
works.
Application of aluminum on a technical front, and then the cultural level. So a big part for me, Stormlight, that was missing for me in the first two Stormlight books was the focus on different cultures on Roshar, where it seems very surface level. I thought this was a great pickup to show me details on these different foreign cultures on this planet, why it's so different. That was appreciated for me.
The
so,
Thalen people being superstitious.
Yep.
Which, again, I just love.
It's not just, they're superstitious. Mm-hmm. No, we go deeper into it. Yep. We get to explore how that is actually applied and why.
Yeah.
That's enjoyable.
I got to say, again, even the world building, going back to the theme of this book, I just love that when an author is able to connect everything. And when you finish and go, when you think back to a book 5 years from now, that's mm-hmm. 10 years, because I'm not going to reread this ever. I don't reread things in general. Like I won't reread The Way of Kings. If I do, it'll be like a decade plus from now. That's just how that's just what I do. But it's cool that 10 years you can look back and you know the takeaway. The author did a great enough job to where you can think of, oh, that's what the book was about, and it could spark your memory of everything else. There's so many books you could think back to and go like, what? Like, when I think back to, I'm so sorry, we had a great panel with him, but Thousand Deaths of Arthur Benn, I have a tough time remembering the point of the book. The title helps a little bit, but
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, sorry again, but not spoil for people in case they're doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember though?
I think so.
Okay. You remember better than
I remember the end scene, and I think that was the point.
Fair enough. Yeah. But you've had books like that where it's tough to kind of remember. So Sanderson paints a good package here. I guess for the world building, why I didn't give it the 4.
Yeah. Why were you so negative?
I'll give you 2 reasons. One, to give Dune and Lord of the Rings 5 and this just 1 star below, I was like, okay, I can't do that. But yeah. The second reason was I have to give a lot of credit to a lot of the reason the world worked in here was because it was built off the Stormlight books. Like a lot of the reason it works and feels real is I give credit, but I can't give like
it's on the shoulders of
yes.
Sanderson's other giants.
Yes, which is why this and Secret History, people are blown away by the revelations and New World stuff. I think it's really good, but I'm going to hold back and go like, okay, it's not like a completely new world. It's not like we're getting the girth we're getting from a ton of other stuff. Like, I think the 5-star worlds have to go to Final Empire, Hero of Ages, Way of Kings, Oathbringer.
It may not have the big surprises, but for me, it fills in the cracks that I'm normally missing from Stormlight.
Fair enough.
So that's why it felt so more impactful.
Right, but we have to argue when we're 0.25 away. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
So until one of us changes our minds. That's the goal here. If you don't. Okay, anything else on World?
No.
All right, then we have Pros out of 5 stars. What'd you give it?
3.75. That was really good.
I have a 4.5.
Yeah. You giving that because Sanderson was concise in this book?
No, I gave it 3.5. I just lied.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to be like 4 or 5. What the hell?
I was surprised, but I'm used to being surprised by you right now.
What? We've been on the same page so often.
No. Never. We're never on the
same
page.
We came off of Howling Dark. We were like best bros for like an hour. 2 hours review.
That was a good
time. The Name of the Wind. I thought you'd never strike my name after The Name of the Wind when we came together.
You did remind me. You're right.
We have the same exact Stormlight ranking.
Do we?
We had the same order of Stormlight books. You do like Red Rising.
It's really hard to overcome like my first impression. You know what I mean? I remember you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Of how like talking.
Red Rising?
Red Rising and Stormlight. And
yeah.
You go like, yeah, Way of Kings Pros. 5 stars. I'm going, hold on, buddy.
Well, because we were judging the category differently. Now I know.
I understand.
Now I remember we talked through our system.
It's hard to overcome your prejudice.
Hey, if it helps, I would give it a 4-star today.
Yes.
It's great prose, but not, it doesn't floor me, but it's great.
Again, I'm going to forget this conversation and I'm still going to judge you how I remember you.
Then I'll judge for how I remember you. But the thing is, you've been the same for 5 years. You've made no progress.
Oh, that hurts more.
Yeah.
That hurts a lot more.
Fuck you. Kinda, like when people are just having fun, then one friend gets really serious.
Like, oh, no.
Oh, so go back to my opinions, not who I am as a person.
Laugh at what I say, not who I am.
Loping, essentially. Yeah. It all comes back. Okay, so pros 3.75 for you, 3.5 for me.
I thought the 0.25 for me is the conciseness of it.
It is concise. Yeah.
It's concise. The jokes are funny. It just is overall good Sanderson stuff.
It is. I always like to read something. I didn't tab anything, so I guess I can read the first paragraph.
Sure.
For a vibe. Nothing could compete with the experience of dangling from the rigging tens of feet in the air. Fresh sea air in your face while looking across an infinite plain of shimmering blue water. The vast ocean was an open roadway, an individual invitation to explore.
Good.
Typical Sanderson prose.
Gives me the vibe.
Gets some bonus points for some fun, witty dialogue. Good prose overall.
Yeah.
Not much else to say on prose stuff.
Not much else to say about the book overall. I think we covered it.
Yeah, think...
It's a pretty straightforward novella.
It is.
It gets what's getting done.
Yes. Great book. 4 stars. Rich is wrong. He's 0.25 wrong. Exactly.
Yeah. He's 0.25 wrong. Really good book.
Nope, it's great. So if you guys enjoy this episode, we don't ask often, but subscribe. Here, give us one of those. Give us one of those.
Or don't. It's okay. You don't have to.
Rich would appreciate, actually, if you... I'm wearing our merch for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Teeter My Totter. Get some Teeter
merch,
My Totter.
Go bookmarks.
To tutorramble.com for some merch. And, as always, our Patreon, where we talk books all the time. We have book clubs where we do it with you patrons. And finishing Wind and Truth, we'll have a book club on Wind and Truth.
Yep.
So, that'll be fun.
By the time this video is uploaded, that is going to be...
Well, it will be February 1st, I think, it's the book club. So, I think they still have a chance.
Oh, they may have
We're giving people a chance to really... It's a long book.
Yeah.
So...
And I'm behind. Can't believe you're reading faster than me.
Yeah.
That's impressive. How far you've come.
If you'll still remember me for who I was, though. She'd be like, awesome, you gotta...
Always. No. You'll be reading twice as many books as me, and I'll still think of you as, like, the slow reader. Doesn't read as much. Nothing will change. I will always picture that in my mind.
That would be a cool... I'm sure it's been done. I'm sure there's books we've read that have done this, but a book on first impressions of a character who just... only thinks of the first impression of a character.
Yeah.
And they're so stubborn about it. And it just,
I mean, Mort. Kind of.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much Mort changes over the story, and that no one can, especially Death, only sees him as boy. Like, they don't even call him Mort. They don't even use his name.
True.
So he's so unforgettable.
That's so awesome, yeah.
What? How much of a journey he goes through, and no one, everyone discounts.
I can check if you're. Would you rate more out of 5 stars?
Yeah, 5.
5?
I love. No, actually, I did because it gets better. I think it was like 4.25.
Oh, okay.
I'll sit there.
Oh, you're wrong then. I think I gave it like a 4.75. It's freaking phenomenal. It's awesome. So I can't take your opinion seriously. We're not exactly correct. So
that's the correct opinion to take.
Yes, unless we are the same.
Exactly. No, if you don't agree with me, that means you're wrong.
Oh, exactly.
There is no your opinion, my opinion. There's just the truth.
So Dawn Shard had it wrong. It's not about how people see superstitions. Superstitions, what you think and know is real, and people just must conform.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
Well, another...
I'm glad we learned that lesson. Samson, you're wrong. There is objective truth, and I'm the one that holds it.
Another rabble and rousing. We'll see you next episode.
Bye, all.
Bye.
This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.